anyway.
All right, 628, Fan CBS Sports Network, a Monday kickoff, a new week, a big week, because not only is baseball now in full swing, we've got NBA, we've got the NHL at the end of the week, and if you thought Brad Heller's updates at 5 a.m. were long before, can you imagine next Monday morning when he's got three leagues to get through? He might be on for like a half hour. I know.
And I know we're coming up the CO, but I got a quick thing for you. You know I'm a all-pro voter for the NFL, and I take it very seriously, and I have been for the last, well, since 1997, actually. 1998, actually. It was the first year that I started voting for the all-pro team. And there has been a stream of emails that have been going around trying to figure out how we want to identify players on the field, and should there be 12 offensive players and add a flex player, add an extra running back. You know, you don't want to have a guy that wins at two positions like Christian McCaffrey did last year, running back and flex player, things of that nature. So we're trying to sort through all of that. And also defensively, should there be a slot corner? Should there be two safeties? Should be an edge rusher? Should be an outside linebacker? How should we determine the name? So I've been going through the emails. I haven't really given my thoughts on it. There have probably been a good 50 emails that have been written back and forth between all the voters. And there are a lot of very, very smart people on there. So I started rereading the book, the patent papers, Jerry, you see this?
Yes.
So there are 1,000 pages in this book.
1,000 pages?
1,000 pages. And, you know, I love reading this book because I know we're, you know, heading back to the studio one of these days. And I know you're in
studio.
I'm here.
Oh, where you are.
So when we get back to the studio, I just have to be refreshed on how George Patton was a leader. And
right.
I need to, you know, make sure that I pick it up when I get back there and make sure that you guys know who's large and in charge. But the point being is that I have read every single one of these emails, and they're so well thought out about what the all-pro team should look like in the NFL. And Barry Wilner, he's the guy who runs it for the AP, has had to decipher all of these emails.
Right.
And I haven't even given my point of view yet, which will come, like, if I want to. If I wrote one this morning, everybody on this email list will be ticked off that I waited until after everybody else already opined in their own unique way.
Yeah, but so, as long as the decision hasn't been made yet, you still have time, and everyone should shut it. You're fine.
I just think that there are so many good points by so many people on the committee. It goes to show you how committed we are to get it right and make sure that we recognize the right players.
And rightly so. And you take your voting very seriously.
I do.
By the way, that book is so thick. Al's apartment is so small. You could use that as your new kitchen table, Al.
Oh, how much was that?
1,000 pages. What would it take? I always like to do this with Al. How much money would it take to get you to read that?
Cover to cover. It would take me 2 years, 3 years.
No, it wouldn't. You'd be
absolutely.
So you'd get yourself immersed into it. This doesn't really include World War II. It only goes up to 1940 with General George Patton. But once I get to the World War II part, that's when I know that I got it on lockdown and I'm ready to go again mentally, and I can get in there and I can get on you guys and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Time out. By the way, Largent in charge. You haven't been here. You know what the hell.
Well, right. they're telling me not to be there. So what do you want me to do?
That is true. And
what
even
would Patton do?
Patton would probably fight through and just show up.
Well, Patton would also. Think. Well, he didn't follow orders either. But
right.
You know, at the end of the
day,
I'd like to think that I can follow some orders.
Not if you're large and in charge.
I was somewhat coachable. You know, that was the knock against me coming out of college.
Yeah. Not coachable anymore.
In charge.
I wasn't really that coachable.
In charge, but absent.
By the way.
Yes.
Who the hell is by the... I thought it was Al, but Al's inside. Why am I hearing the ocean in the background?
Because CeeLo's outdoors for whatever reason.
Wait a minute. He's out by the ocean?
You live in Freehold. What ocean are you by?
I'm coming to you live from Ocean City, New Jersey this morning, fellas.
And why are you there?
Oh, must be nice.
I am here with my extended family. My parents rented a house for the week back in January. Gio happened to take the week off, so here I am working remotely from Ocean City.
You're still sponging off your parents? How old are you?
That was your takeaway from that. Huh?
Yeah, 100%.
I can see the house across the street and the reflection in your door. Nice place.
That's right.
Man, yes. Your dad must be doing well.
My dad's retired now.
No, he must be really doing well.
71, you know?
Yeah, and look at you. You're still sponging off of him.
No, well, you know.
You should be taking your parents to your house.
Someday, Someday I hope to. Yeah, boom. Yeah, I should be taking my parents to my beach house. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you talk about how much money your wife makes. Yeah, let's go.
Right, yeah. Okay, maybe somewhere down the road.
Is mom going to bring out the pancakes this morning?
She might if you speak up about
Which
it.
Which mom sure are we talking about? His wife inside. Or his mom?
No, his mom.
Why would I call my wife my mom?
Because you have kids.
Oh, well, we're not referencing
Well, his wife is his mom to his kids.
Correct. And last time he was on, mom was eating and making noise in the background.
It's a tough crowd. Yeah, Boomer, that was while you were off. She poured a bowl of cereal about, 50 to 70 feet to my left, and Gio was like, what is that noise? Who's making noise?
Nothing worse than a slurping cereal eater.
Oh, no, she was. It was just the flakes hitting the bowl, the ceramic bowl, and that, sent Gio's radar off.
She doesn't, slurp when she's eating cereal or anything,
of course
right?
not.
That's
no.
the worst.
No. She's a proper.
God. I remember I dated a girl once. I took her out to dinner in college. And we
and
went
she was
to dinner.
A slurper?
We went out. We went to
Someone's
Armand's.
Blushing.
The people of Maryland will know this. We went to Armand's Pizza on Route 1, and we ordered a pizza. It was a deep dish pizza. And I reached in. I grabbed my slice. I took a bite. And I watched this girl just like she had eaten like in 3 weeks. It was almost like she was a POW or something.
And that was the end of that.
And I was like, that was it. I can't.
Was she also the one that smelled like chlorine?
No, that was a swimmer.
That was why a swimmer can't eat pizza?
Well, she could, but I don't know. She was fine. This one was a little bit, aggressive with the deep dish pizza. And she had two slices done before I even had my first slice half done.
That's when you knew
See,
it was
I'm
over.
I'm with Jerry. I figured that could have been the swimmer.
Yeah.
They burn so many calories. Right? Michael Phelps used to eat 4,000 calories a day or something crazy like that?
You know what the funny thing about this conversation is? Is if Al was out with that person, he would have got a salad and food shamed her.
I was out one time with a girl on a first date, and we got an appetizer platter, where they have a bunch of different appetizers.
A sampler.
And she ate everything with her fingers. She was using her fingers, like on Survivor.
Her fingers.
Like on Survivor, how they eat rice. They just pick everything up, and it was so bizarre. I was like,
and you couldn't wait to leave.
I could. I had to get out of there.
So how did you,
it didn't
call
go,
her back?
No.
After,
what do you think?
No, I was so thrown off by it.
Right.
He's the quirkiest SOB you've ever met. You think he's going to stand for that? No chance. All right, 6:35. Let's get some sound from CeeLo down the Jersey Shore, and don't be distracted by the ocean. That is the ocean. He is outside on the terrace enjoying himself. What you got, Chris?
That's right. We're brought to you by Winters Bros Waste Systems, creating a cleaner and greener Long Island. To learn more, visit wintersbros.com. The one and two.
You think about what a world we're living in right now? You are working across the street from the beach, outside.
That's right.
Boomer is in his palatial estate, God knows where, and Al moved across the street from the ocean.
And you're sitting in the studio just like old times.
What a bizarre time. It really
Jerry
is.
Couldn't wait to get out of the home.
That's not true. No one wakes up
point.
At my house till 11 o'clock anyway.
11? Even your wife?
About 11.
Wow.
My kids get up between 12 and 2.
Man, they're having a great life.
Must be
they're
nice.
They are having a blast. Yeah, so this is nothing with getting out.
Shutting them down.
What?
Who am I shutting down? Aren't shutting them down.
No, they stay up late. They get up late. We're good.
Not bad.
I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
About. That's quite all right. So you had a couple of close games between the Mets and the Braves, and then last night at Citi Field, a laugher.
0-2, breaking ball hit deep to left field. Forget it. This one's in orbit. This one's headed off the facing of the third deck, a Titanic home run for Austin Riley, the second solo home run for the Braves in this inning. Holy sh!
That's right. Sixth inning call, WCBS.
This was a disgrace of a game. Really,
I enjoyed this home run in the empty park because you could hear the thud off the deck, and even off the bat, you heard everyone in the Braves dugout react. It was tremendous because you had no fans, obviously. Rick Porcello was long gone at that point, tagged for 7 runs, 6 earned across 2+ in his Mets debut. The Braves with a 5 spot in the third. They went on to pound the Mets 14-1. They take 2 out of 3 in the season opening series. Here's Porcello on what could have been.
Make a couple more pitches and throw some better changeups. It's maybe a different story, and we're in it, a lot longer, a lot later tonight than we were.
It was over pretty quickly. Obviously, only 6 hits for the Mets, nothing across after
he stinks.
Grimmo's second
he did last night.
RBI double. So that's 5 runs total for the Mets across the first 3 games, including the extra inning Saturday. What did Luis Rojas think of his offense?
For the most part, I saw guys chasing. and you know, late on fastball, chasing breaking balls out front, and that's not what we want to see.
They even had the one at bat with Cespedes. I think it was the second inning where he had a couple of guys on and he had a 3-0 count. I think it was 3-0, and he wound up chasing a pitch high and away on 3-2. So he's right about that. They did not have many good at-bats, aside from, you know, McNeil, who seems to hit everything. Not many good at-bats at all last night from this team.
They're off to Boston now. Two-game series with the Red Sox beginning tonight at Fenway. Then they come back to City for two later in the week. Michael Wacha will follow Porcello in making his Mets debut. He's opposed by Josh Osich.
Wacha, Wacha!
Yeah, of course, here we go.
By the way, Eduardo Nunez injured in last night's game as he pinch hit for Michael Conforto in the eighth. He legs out an infield chopper. Then he got in a collision at first base. He went down holding the leg, all that good stuff or bad stuff. Eventually, he walked off with Rojas. He was to be reevaluated today. Things went much better for the Yankees in D.C. They take 2 out of 3 from the defending champion Nationals. Come from behind victory Sunday afternoon.
Pitch is swung on and drilled to deep left. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. 3 rows back in the left field seats. Oh, that void is adroit. He homers to left field to tie the game at 2.
So good to have John back on.
Veal cutlet.
That's right.
And you know, I listened to them a lot this weekend. They sound, aside from there are issues with the screen and the monitor they're working off of. There are certain times they can't really see where the ball is going off the bat, and it takes them a second.
Right. Picture.
And that's going to happen to everybody that's doing these games on the road, on the radio, when they're doing it at the home stadium. But I thought his voice, which we know is a gem, it sounded so refreshed and so crisp this weekend. It was actually a pleasure listening.
Refreshed well and rested. Crisp. That's good. I heard Gary Cohen talking about doing the game from Citi Field. He goes, we do have enough monitors to see the entire field. They give us the high-up monitor camera so I can see everything that's happening. So I would imagine the Yankees and Yes are doing the same thing for John and Susan.
Well, but I think they took – but don't they take the video feed of the home team?
Yeah, but every home team has a high – camera shots, and that's
do we know that
on.
Is that true?
Yes, that's what Gary said yesterday.
Well, so it's not the live broadcast feed that we're seeing. They're getting it's as if they're sitting in like the production truck that has all that the directors.
Yes,
are at
yes.
The
and, well, he's guess. Asking whatever Gary's asking for is what we're seeing on TV. He's also has a high shot so he can see the entire field and what's happening, and so he could call the game correctly, wherever the ball is going and how far it is going.
But what road game have they done?
What are you talking about, Gary and Keith and Ronnie? Well, they haven't. They've been in the stadium, but he was talking about I guess they did one road game when the exhibition game with the Yankees.
Sure.
He wasn't complaining. Listen, everybody just shut up and stop complaining.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. And they weren't complaining. I just said,
and by the way,
there are certain times it's tough to track the ball off a screen. That's all.
You know, I was counting, and I'm in the middle of counting it because I know CeeLo is in the middle of his update. Yeah. You've already interrupted CeeLo 4 times. And you would think, at your background being an update guy, that you would appreciate not interrupting the update guy.
Just I think he wants to make sure I get the same experience he gets, right? To make sure it's authentic, right, Jerry?
Listen, something sparks my thought, I'm going to say it. That's all.
All right.
Otherwise, it's gone because my mind's mush most days.
So the void home run in the seventh came shortly after Gleyber Torres had got the Yanks on the board with a solo homer of his own that knocked Patrick Corbin out of the game. Torres then delivering the go-ahead RBI single in the eighth. Yanks held on the edge to the Nationals 3-2. Aaron Boone's club fighting back, but he's got no new catchphrases for them here in 2020.
I don't have any slogans. I didn't necessarily intentionally have one in 19. You know, I always think our guys are savages, so that'll never go away.
So that'll stick. Here's Voit, says always good to start the season on a high note.
That was a big series, and, you know, that team's definitely going to be fighting for, a playoff spot. So it's good to get off to a hot start. You know, the guys are feeling good.
Nice bullpen work in this one, too. Jonathan Loaisiga basically opened. He got them 3 innings of one-run ball. That was followed by Hale, Ottavino, Green, Canely, and Britton.
Ottavino was great.
And Bonifacio getting thrown out. Not thrown out, just sliding the base helped,
right.
too.
Yes, it did. And you had Canely getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the eighth, striking
out
the
Canely,
side
that's
along
what
the
was.
Way.
Canely was the guy
that... Yeah, he had the changeup working.
Yeah, but he was victimized by the Gleyber Torres error, right?
Correct, yes.
I mean, you got to make those plays, man.
Well, he made up for it by, you know, he had the home run. Well,
I understand. They won the game. Let's stop being negative and shut up.
Oh, let me just tell you something.
Good thing you're not. Good thing Boomer's not there next to you, Jerry.
He's 60 miles away. We're good.
Right.
Go ahead, Boom. What do you want to tell us?
No, I was just going to say that that's the one bugaboo about him, that he blows a routine play in the middle of or late in the game that could have cost the team.
He also accounted for 2/3 of their offense.
Yeah, CeeLo. Like I expect you to do at shortstop. What do I expect you to do at shortstop?
Just make the plays I'm supposed to make.
That's half right. The game. You're out on the field, and then the other time, get up, get on base, so somebody can knock you in.
Fair enough. Yanks on to Philly to face Joe Girardi's club for two. You got Jay Happ opposed by Jake Arrieta in tonight's opener. We got pregame on the Fan 6:25, first pitch 7:05. Speaking of the Phils, they lost to the Marlins yesterday.
Lost 2 out of 3.
11-6. That's right. But the story with the Marlins here is that they've had multiple players test positive for the coronavirus over the course of the last couple of days, including Sunday's scheduled starter, Jose Urrea, and he was scratched. They actually are delayed, I guess. I don't know if it's happened yet, but they weren't able to travel home right away because of the concerns and the possible outbreak. Here was manager Don Mattingly addressing his team's situation.
We're going to have to be adjustable. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to deal with a lot. We tried to set ourselves up to deal with a lot.
And now they're kind of right in the center of it. Again, not sure if they've been able to travel home just yet, but they were at least delayed Sunday.
And they play Baltimore tonight, is that right? At home in Miami?
Sounds correct. Yeah. I saw that correctly this morning. Then you got the Justin Verlander situation with the Astros. So he pitched on Friday, I guess it was, and they took him out early. He had a little bit of forearm stiffness. You had the Houston Chronicle report yesterday. My phone's blowing up like mid-afternoon. Justin Verlander out for the season. And then shortly after that, you had Verlander basically saying, no, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to give it some time and rest it up. This forearm strain, hopefully I'll be back.
Doesn't sound good.
It does not sound good. Here was Dusty Baker before, I think, the Chronicle story had broken as he was updating the media on Verlander's condition before the game yesterday.
He wanted to go some more. You know, he was throwing the ball well. It was just came over and he said, hey, man, my arm's a little tender. And that's when we took him out.
And then you had Verlander tweeting out yesterday, the report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. There is a forearm strain. I'm hopeful with some rest it'll heal, and I'll be able to return soon. So we'll keep an eye on that situation as we move forward. You guys remember maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I forget who was in or out that day, mentioned Shohei Ohtani's first exhibition outing.
Yes.
Where he walked 7 guys and hit another in like 50 pitches or
something.
How'd that
go yesterday?
Right. So he goes out for his season debut yesterday, did not record an out.
Yeah.
He allowed 3 hits. He walked 3. Charged with 5 runs. Angels went on to lose to the not to the Rays. Who did they play, Jerry? I wrote this in wrong.
Angels, A's?
Thank you, A's. Yeah, 6-4 was the final. And here's his new manager, Joe Maddon, not about to sugarcoat Ohtani's performance.
Well, he just didn't throw the ball very well. I mean, I can't sit here and make excuses for him. I'm not going to do that. It just wasn't his day. Fastball wasn't coming out. There was no deception in his pitches.
And that would be a problem.
Beyond that, fantastic.
Right, exactly. Here's why I said the Rays, because I'm getting to them next. Extra innings at the Trop, and they got themselves a walk-off victory.
He swings and lines one down the right field line for a base hit. All the way to the corner. Rounding third is Smith. He scores the tying run. Martinez to third, being waved. He's on his way. Digging for the plate. The throw. Not in time. Rays win.
There you go. Rays radio game-winning 2-run triple.
They were down 4-0 in that game, too.
Kevin Kiermaier as they beat the Blue Jays 6-5. So nice win for them on their home field where they're used to nobody being there, obviously.
It's so funny.
You guys covered the Jamal Adams situation, obviously, over the weekend. As I don't know how Joe Douglas ended up with a couple of first-rounders with everything that went on the last week or so, or really the last couple of months, but that's the case. So the Jets move forward now with some draft capital to show for trading away their all-pro safety. He and Le'Veon Bell having a little bit of a back-and-forth on Twitter over the weekend, which, I don't know, it kind of seemed good-natured based on Bell's last tweet. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I know there was some talk of C on the field week 14 and whatnot, but I guess they had spoken in recent weeks, and we'll see how that all plays out. But Adams gets what he wanted. He gets traded to a contender, and I guess at some point along the way they'll pay him the money he's looking for as well.
Well, they better. I mean, they traded 4 players for him, essentially, the starting safety, McDougal, and then right. They also have two first-rounders and a third-rounder. Jets sent a 4th-rounder back the other way, but right. You don't make that trade and not pay that guy.
Yeah, I mean, you would think so.
But, so, you know, it's like the Khalil Mack trade. That's exactly what it's like. It's like the Laramie Tunzel trade.
So yeah, but as you pointed out, those guys play marquee positions, whereas this one, maybe not so much.
And those, and you usually make a trade like this because you think you got a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. When you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, I can understand why you would do something like this. And Pete Carroll said that the opportunity to get a player of Jamal Adams' stature is extraordinary. So now I'm sure that that is music to Mr. Adams' ears, and I'm sure that his agent would like to go in there to John Schneider, their GM, and say, by the way, did you hear what your coach just said about the player that you just acquired? Now pay him $20 million a year.
Sounds like Darrell Revis, doesn't it?
It does. Now, look, most of the time I come down on the side of the player getting to what he wants and how he wants to get it because the NFL contracts are so restrictive. So part of me appreciates what Jamal Adams did and how he basically put himself out there and really said, hey, look, man, I'm worth this kind of money. Somebody's going to pay it to me. I just don't like the way he went about it. But I don't necessarily know that he could have went about it any other way and got what he wanted.
Well, he got what he wanted, all right. And he's on a good team, too. Exactly. You good, Chris, or anything else?
Yeah, you guys covered Aldrick Rosas in the Open. I believe I heard you mention that. And the Knicks still working on finalizing this five-year deal with Tom Thibodeau to make him the new head coach.
All right, Chris, don't go jump in the ocean. We'll see you in about a half hour or so. Buzz. Good job. No buzz.